This is My Guys in the Desert with Stormy Bonantoni on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
That's always just some fun music to get us going on a Monday. Love it. Stormy Bonantoni with you, My Guys in the Desert, live from Las Vegas at Circa Sportsbook, our VSiN studio here. Welcome into the show on a Monday, a wild weekend in the sports world, no question. We loved every second of it, though. The World Series scene is set with the Braves and Astros. We had upsets galore in college football and some unexpected outcomes, to say the least, for some teams in the NFL that we thought were supposed to be contenders. I don't know what's going on. Who's on the show today? Jimmy Vaccaro and Vinny Maiulo over at the South Point, going to give us some perspective from the books. Mondays with Michael continue with NFL former executive Michael Lombardi, also host of the Lombardi Line. And Steve Buchanan talks some NFL and MLB with us at the end of the hour. So let's jump right in, as we always do, with the top five stories you need to know, things that impact us as bettors. Starting with number one, Cliff Kingsbury just got out of the COVID-19 protocol, back with his team in the Cardinals. A lot of new developments on the COVID-19 front, including Bears head coach Matt Nagy, as well as the Packers defensive coordinator Joe Barry and star wide receiver Davante Adams, all of them testing positive for COVID-19. Packers management didn't speak on the vaccination status. Even if vaccinated, though, it'd be a tough test for any of these guys to get out of protocol prior to Green Bay's Thursday night showdown with Arizona. Maybe the game of the year to this point this Thursday. Packers getting 4 in AZ. And, I mean, Adams is Aaron Rodgers' top target. If he is, in fact, sidelined for the Week 8 matchup, more of the football to be spread around some other guys: Alan Lazard, Randall Cobb, Robert Tonyan. First and foremost, of course, we hope everybody is doing well and continues to do well. On the Bears front, 4 players had already been placed in COVID-19 protocol. So I guess what the latest update is that both teams are going to have much more strict protocols moving forward. Chicago coming off a rough one, 38-3 loss to Tampa Bay. Bears did very little, right? Turned the ball over 5 times, converted just 2 of 11 third downs. It was a tough one. Now you're missing more people, including your head coach. Number 2 on our list, Colts beat the San Francisco 49ers 30-18. I don't really want to talk about it, but I will anyways. And they did it as 3.5, 4-point dogs. And when San Francisco head coach Kyle Shanahan was asked postgame if quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo would be the starter moving forward, what did he say? I would guess so. He said he'll watch the tape and see if both guys are healthy first and foremost. That's not exactly the vote of confidence that I'm wanting from the head coach in Jimmy Garoppolo. But off the bye week, it was his first start back since the calf injury. And it's an unfortunate situation because Trey Lance obviously unavailable himself with the knee injury. Jimmy G, 16 of 27, 181 yards, a lost fumble, 2 picks, just 1 touchdown. 49ers have the Bears this week as 3-point favorites on the road. Who knows? Hey, maybe they get a win. Maybe they get a win. Plenty more on the 49ers later in the show, trust me. Number 3 on our list, speaking of quarterbacks who aren't working out, it appears the honeymoon phase for Sam Darnold in the Carolina Panthers has come to a screeching halt. He was benched Sunday for PJ Walker late in the game after getting stomped 25-3 by the Giants, despite being 2.5, 3-point road favorites, albeit, I mean, Walker didn't impress in garbage time relief duty. Panthers dropped their 4th straight game after, I mean, a paper tiger 3-0 start to the season. 2 of those wins were against the Jets and Texans. Matt Rhule, however, says Sam Darnold will start next week against the Falcons. Carolina getting 3 early in Atlanta, by the way, but it sounds more like a short-term solution to a long-term problem, which, of course, reignites a lot of the conversation and questions with regard to the Deshaun Watson situation. And those talks are back, according to The Athletic. Rhule has certainly downplayed any questions about the Panthers' level of interest there. Brent Musburger on our program has not, however. Watson does have a no-trade clause and a lot of baggage, still 22 pending allegations with regards to him legally. Trade deadline, of course, approaching next Tuesday, November 2nd at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 Pacific. So we'll keep this talk rolling. Number 4 on our list. Hey, let's talk about a quarterback who's not riding the struggle bus, okay? I mean, he might be getting an AAP card sometime soon, but let's talk about Tom Brady, because yesterday eclipsed 600 career passing touchdowns in that massive win over the Chicago Bears. And, I mean, let's talk about the largest gap ever between starting quarterbacks. Tom, 44. Justin Fields, 22. But the play on the field, an even wider gap, guys. Maybe Tom's arm is just 22. Is that weird? Would it be, like, smaller, maybe? Just a little, I don't know. I don't even know why I talk about these things. But my question to you is this the best Tom is playing in his career? Because it certainly seems so on a lot of levels here. You already, mind you, 21 touchdowns, 2,275 yards, and just three interceptions, 11 touchdown passes and one pick in the last three games alone. As far as his MVP odds go, fourth on the odds board at plus 750. I would take that all day with Tom, especially considering it's a pretty lenient schedule with him. If he continues to put up massive numbers like this and be as important to his team as he is, as far as the NFC odds go, the Bucks still are shortest as favorites in the NFC at plus 275. Number five on our list, Monday Night Football contest coming up tonight. Saints and Seahawks, Seattle, plus 4 at home, hosting the Saints, who are fresh off a bye. Total currently sitting at 41.5. I've seen it 41. I've seen it 42. Mostly planted there right in the middle. And lots to for you to need to know in terms of updates. So I'm just going to go down what is a pretty laundry list of names here. For New Orleans, Taysom Hill out. Wide receiver Deontay Harris out. Running back Dwayne Washington out. Defensive end Peyton Turner out. It is not all bad, though, because they're getting a lot of people back. Center Eric McCoy back for the first time since week one. Left tackle Teron Armstead will be out there, and a few guys eligible to come off injured reserve. We'll see, but looking good. Wide receiver Tre'Quan Smith, especially without Michael Thomas, he's somebody you could see making an immediate impact. Defensive end Marcus Davenport and linebacker Quan Alexander all eligible to make their returns. Imagine that they will. For Seattle, running back Alex Collins, Damian Lewis, Darrell Taylor, John Reed, all questionable. But with that being said, Alex Collins has gotten the vote of confidence that he should be out there. The Seahawks, mind you, have won their last four Monday Night Football games, are an NFL best 11-2 on Monday night since 2010, which was the first year that Pete Carroll came. Of course, we've been seeing Russ Cook since 2012. Good to note, though, as well, if you're a Seahawks backer, if you're interested in that, Geno Smith, 6-0 against the spread in his last six starts. So we just gave you all of those injuries for today. But on Sunday, there were a lot to break down as well in everybody's favorite titled segment. Maybe it's just my favorite titled segment, but I'm not a doctor. Let's lay out the land of some of the key injuries that came this Sunday, starting with Patrick Mahomes. He, of course, exited the Chiefs' loss to the Titans early, said after the game that he kind of took his time getting up. He felt fine, went through concussion protocol, but, you know, he did everything he needed to be able to be on the podium. He said he had full memory of the play as it went down. And when I say they lost, this was a massive loss. Okay, like, let's not play around here. Minus 4.5-point favorites lose straight up 27-3. So Chiefs now fall to 3-4 to start the year. Something I'm really interested in talking to our guy Michael Lombardi about in a little bit is, does he think Patrick Mahomes is part of the problem? Chiefs there still, plus 250, second closest odds to win the AFC West, but they sit in a tie with the Broncos for last with that 3-4 record. So we'll keep an eye on that. It's just unfathomable to me to think about the way we're talking about the Kansas City Chiefs now, for them to have a loss like that. They finally were in a bounce back spot last week against Washington, and this is the performance they put up. I don't know what's happened to this team. I can't figure it out. Maybe Michael will have an answer for us. Also, Zach Wilson, Jets quarterback, diagnosed with a sprained PCL after an MRI this morning. Adam Schefter reported it. Jets kind of suspected this yesterday with a 2-4 week timetable for him to return. So Jets likely to go with Mike White, who came in relief for our guy Wilson. He's a fifth-round pick from the 2018 draft with Western Kentucky. You could also see Josh Johnson be someone getting evaluated. He's kind of a journeyman backup and with 13 teams drafted back in 2008 on the practice squad. Who knows? Maybe this is a time we hear Cam Newton's name be raised a little bit. I know DraftKings always has odds on where Cam Newton's next place will be. Jets right now, 1-5 and not looking very up without their first round pick. And as you guys know, if you've listened to the program a good bit, I covered Zach Wilson a ton last year at BYU. He is a talent and somebody you could see being a good focal point of the Jets moving forward. That offensive line just, you know, doesn't give him a lot of a chance sometimes, but we'll see what happens moving forward with the Jets. A tough, tough loss against the Patriots this week, but it was good for me in the contest. They're a survivor, not mad at it. The Las Vegas Raiders have another injury dealing with Josh Jacobs, a chest injury that came out in their team's win over the Eagles. He left the game shortly before halftime, initially was labeled as questionable to return. It is believed, though, that he was able to avoid major injury despite being ruled out so quickly of the game. A bye this week, extra time for the team and for him to recover in this one. Jaguars head coach Urban Meyer said wide receiver DJ Chark will be out the rest of the season now with a fractured ankle that he recently suffered. And Patriots corner Jonathan Jones will have surgery on his injured shoulder, out for the season as well. Jones, the team's primary slot corner, significant loss to that Pats defense. He played 54% of the defensive snaps for New England, 18 tackles, 3 pass breakups, and an interception in his 6 games this season. So a big loss for the Pats, who we just told you had a critical win. And good to note, everybody, we obviously know a lot about DraftKings, and the Sports Betting National Championship is coming up November 5th through the 7th. VSiN will provide coverage from the main event all weekend long. Live on location updates for all of the action. You won't want to miss it. Visit VSiN.com/SNBC for more information. Learn how you can enter for a chance to test your skills, win cash, including $1 million top prize. That's VSiN.com/SBNC. On the other side of this break, guys, we're breaking down the wildest moments of the college football weekend, and our guys, Jimmy and Vinny at the South Point, join the show. Stay with us.
Listening to My Guys in the Desert with Stormy Bonantoni on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back into My Guys in the Desert. This segment presented by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. Zyn is working to create a world where you can enjoy life on your own terms. Zyn Nicotine Pouches are smoke-free, spit-free, and hassle-free tobacco alternative that can be enjoyed on the go, anywhere and anytime, so you never miss a minute of the game or the tailgate party. Available in 10 varieties, including spearmint, coffee, and citrus, Zyn can be found at convenience stores nationwide, so you can find Zyn wherever you are. Zyn's nicotine pouches are clean and discreet, no lingering smell. Plus, it's easy to use indoors or out, making it the perfect complement to your everyday. Also, Zyn comes in 2 strengths, so you have control over your nicotine satisfaction. Zyn contains nicotine and is only for adult nicotine consumers 21 plus. Learn more and find your local retailer at Zyn.com. That's ZYN.com. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. Stormy Bonantoni with you on a Monday, and it was a wild college football weekend, so we're recapping the wildest of the wild moments, starting with, can we talk about that Illinois-Penn State game? 9 overtimes, longest game in college football history, and Penn State freaking loses? Unbelievable. So many opportunities. I was working my own game, and I caught the highlights of this thing. So many opportunities for either team to win in one overtime and end this thing, and they couldn't do it. Incredible. Penn State, 24.5-point favorites, lose outright. Ridiculous. And I mentioned I was at a game. It was a pretty crazy one too. So this number 2 team in the country, Cincinnati Bearcats, taking on the Navy Midshipmen down in Annapolis. I've been saying, oh, in the Annapolis, you know, like the Final Four commercials. But anyways, Cincinnati in no way, shape, or form should have had this game come down to the final possession. Mids were getting 28 points, lost by just 7, and I was watching Desmond Ridder on the sideline throughout the entire first half, and it's funny because everything that we've heard about this guy's demeanor, his leadership qualities, everything was so backwards in the first half. You could tell they were really tripped up, frustrated. He nearly threw his helmet once. I was like, what's going on? This is not the Desmond Ridder we all know. They were able to get it together and close out the win, but a huge breath just released from everybody on that sideline. You can tell when they were able to seal it with that last second interception. Last one on here, things you never thought you'd say. Oklahoma escaped Kansas. What? What in the world happened? Okay, Kansas led 17-7 against the Sooners in the third quarter. They ended up winning the game. Spread, you see there, 38.5. Lincoln Riley's offense only even got to touch the ball once in the first quarter, three times in what was a scoreless first half, and Caleb Superman Williams looked, I'd say, human for the first time since he led that Red River showdown. I mean, I just don't know what I was watching there for a while. Very interesting stuff. All right, time to get wild in a more fun way with our guys, Jimmy Vaccaro, Vinny Maiulo, my guys at the South Point, some of the best in the business. They're going to take us behind the counter. And Jimmy, we'll start with you. Just how was the weekend's action, results? I feel like some books did well and others didn't.
Well, first of all, you look good on the sidelines, kid. You know, that's another great step you're taking. And it's really, really neat because as soon as they show you, everybody in the back jumps up and say, that's my girl. That's my girl. Aww. So good for you, young lady. You're doing great for yourself.
You're the
and
best.
Personally, you know, just you can't get any more excitement out of these games on the Saturday, which breeds more people coming to play. It's just incredible. We had two big games, one we win and one we lose. The one we won, the biggest one, was the Virginia-Georgia Tech game. The game, as you saw, in the last 2 minutes, they recovered two onside kicks. We luckily got out of there on a monster win for us. Now, they kicked our butt real good on Notre Dame. Obviously, USC needs a lot of time to rebuild. So, as far as like we're concerned here, the handle was very good. We wound up doing good, but those were the best and the worst games of Saturday for us.
Yeah, no question. And like, just speaking of those upsets that we were all getting to too, one that I thought was kind of interesting, like Oklahoma State, Iowa State, I called the quote unquote upset on the spread with Oklahoma State, but does that count as an upset with these two teams? You tell me, Vinny.
No, Stormy. By the way, Stormy, I couldn't agree with you, with Jimmy more about you on the sideline. By the way, they won't let Jimmy and I on the sidelines, but that's okay because we gotta be here in the book. No, that is not an upset. Listen, here's the best way I can sum this up. If the rankings, if the polls determined the odds and the prices, we could all retire. So, no, remember this. Iowa State was a 7-point favorite in that game, 7.5-point favorite. So, you know, the rankings, some people may say that because a higher-ranked team lost to a lower-ranked team. At the end of the day, that's not what determines the prices. I'll tell you what, the game you talked about right at the top of the segment, Illinois-Penn State, that was an upset for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, with Penn State, 2.5-point favorite, 21 point fair, 24-point favorite in that game. So that's a legitimate upset.
You know, right, what Vinny just said makes a lot of sense, but look at it this way too. Yes, there are upsets, but you know what? They're dwindling. Used to be a long time ago, there weren't any upsets. Now you just look around and say, holy smokes, you know, that how can that team beat this team? Because it seems like the kids are all getting so good, and even if you don't go to the first front, you know, the top five teams in the country, they go to other places, which obviously are very good also. So upset, we're not using that word too much anymore.
Yeah, no question. One more, and thank you guys both, by the way, just for your kind words. I really appreciate it. It's been a lot of fun to get to hang out with you guys during the week and then go travel out on Saturdays. One more here on college football before we move on to the NFL. Which games this week, you know, we had the bad beats and the big wins put aside from Saturday. Which games this week do we anticipate seeing the biggest handle on?
Well, first of all, there's four or five games which I think will be, you know, monster games, marquee games. Iowa, Wisconsin, Michigan State. You can't wait every year to see them play on the weekends. Penn State, Ohio State. Even though Ohio State's 18.5, they'll draw plenty of attention. And Georgia, a 2-touchdown favorite. But you know, once again, would I be surprised if Florida won the game? Not really.
I'll throw a sleeper in there too for you, Stormy. The last game on the rotation, a 1-point favorite, San Diego State against Fresno State. Two teams. This is going to be a showdown game in the Mountain West. So that game will be a sleeper. It won't generate as much betting interest head-to-head as the games that Jimmy mentioned. But the fact that it's the last game at 7:30 on the rotation certainly going to draw a lot of more betting attention than it normally would.
Well, I am always in on betting my San Diego State Aztecs, guys. That is my alma mater, and I'm all in on the Aztecs. Moving on to the NFL, guys, though, just how was yesterday in general for the books regards to the NFL? And it's crazy how fast things turn. Got Monday night tonight, too. How's the handle there?
Touchdown. You know why I'm going touchdown? Let them keep chasing the Chiefs. I mean, I don't know if we wrote 10 tickets on Tennessee, but obviously they were outplayed from the get-go. So there are some teams now that the general public is doing much better than we anticipated for the course of the year so far. But when you get a game for us, especially, you know, when the Chiefs go down and they go down early and it's a 10 and whatever, and they knock everything out, teasers, money lines, you know, just point spreads, whatever. So, you know, keep playing. You know what? They're not as good as we thought they were. Make no mistake about that.
Yeah, especially defensively. The other game, the afternoon, so that was a morning game, Jimmy pointed out, Stormy. The afternoon, which we were kind of surprised about, we actually needed the Raiders for a big number. That was the biggest decision of the afternoon, that game close pick 'em here at South Point. So we were surprised. And, of course, the Raiders, they got down early, but credit them for the way they've performed these last couple of weeks. And we did need them yesterday in the afternoon against the Eagles.
Yeah, things you never hear at a Las Vegas sportsbook. We need the Vegas Raiders. So, yeah, interesting stuff. Hey, the World Series finally getting underway tomorrow. The stage is set. Braves, Astros. Is there any liability on either team, both teams? What's the lowdown for the series?
You know, we wound up really good. Chris nursed this future betting on the Major League Baseball since the day we opened back in April, and we are in real good shape. The couple of teams that we need to get their butts kicked were the Giants and the Dodgers. So with them both out, we're going to win depending who much. And obviously, you know, when you get into those spots and you're just going to have a pickup no matter what, it's called smart bookmaking.
Yeah, and the good part about it, too, is it's going to be good action, Stormy, the way the games are positioned. I think they only go up against football one time for the series in the 2-3-2 format. The beauty, too, is that extra propositions here, a little bit of two-way action so far on the series price. They took the Braves in game one for about 7 cents. And the other benefit here at the South Point, Jimmy, 10-cent spread on the series price, not only the game, but the series price as well.
Well, you figure after all these years, and we know how to do it, and let's call it like it is. That's a very, very fair straddle there, a 10-cent straddle. And if you want to come on in, you know, we can probably accommodate just about anything you want to bet.
I love that. It's like you guys know what you're doing or something like that. No,
we're just trying to pass the audition. Put a good word in for us, Stormy.
Great stuff. Real quickly, we got like 10, 15 seconds here. Just where is the majority of that money going, or is it, like you said, more of a split two-way action in the World Series?
Pretty much two-way action on the series price, but a little bit of early money on the Braves for game one. But the public could get involved in with the Astros in tomorrow when we get closer to the first pitch.
Good stuff. Jimmy and Vinny, thank you as always. Appreciate the time.
Bye, Stormy.
People getting in on that plus money with the Bravos. Coming up next, my power ratings for the top teams in the NFL and Mondays with Michael. Michael Lombardi joins the program, breaks down some wild NFL action. If you're looking for more sports betting discussion around your local teams, Bet Rivers has you covered. Bet Rivers has launched a series of CityCasts designed to tackle sports betting from the local perspective. There are CityCasts in Chicago, Detroit, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, LA, and now Denver. Subscribe to your local CityCast wherever you get your podcast. Stormy Bonantoni with you on My Guys in the Desert. Time for our updated NFL power rankings, and we can do it today because we all know that the Saints and Seahawks aren't getting in the top five. So let's get it going with the Green Bay Packers at number 5 on my rankings list. Red zone defense finally showed up yesterday, and despite being injured on the offensive line, able to handle Washington 24-10 Sunday. Rodgers, great when it mattered, and this guy's just been a man on a mission since week one. Love him or hate him, slaying lesser opponents with precision, and I think the trend continues. Number 4 on our list, the ye old Dallas Cowboys. Yes. I know they were on a bye week, so you're like, oh, do they really? Yes, Dak Prescott playing like an MVP candidate. He should be getting healthier, ideally, this week with the bye. Their versatile offensive attack has unlimited scoring potential. Defense has shocked most of us this season. I feel like this is a team that week after week gets more and more looking like a Super Bowl contender, and this is why we play the game, folks, because I did not think that preseason. 3 on our list, the 6-1 Los Angeles Rams. I know it was ugly against the Lions, but they're also 4-3 against the spread. Super Bowl odds sitting there at plus 800. But that game against the Lions meant a lot to a lot of people. Rams have been outstanding on offense. Stafford playing inspired, best football of his career, and throw into an offensive player of the year candidate in Cooper Kupp doesn't make you look bad. Defense has shown improvement the past few weeks. Rams are 3rd on the list because the Bucs are just the more complete team to me. Moving on to number 2, Tampa Bay, their Super Bowl odds sitting at plus 550, a team that looks like they could just roll the rest of the year. And it was funny as it was a ho-hum day for the defending champs yesterday, effectively just dismantled the Bears. We already mentioned Tom's record, but he's always an X factor. Their O-line looks good. He's got good weapons. Still need to get a little bit healthier in the secondary, but if they do that, I think they could be up there as the deepest team in the NFL. Lenient schedule. If they didn't contend for the top seed in the NFC West this season, it would be crazy to me. Number 1 on our list, though, and how could it not be? The Arizona Cardinals, 7-0, and as the great poet J.J. Watt once eloquently put it, how about instead of making excuses for why they win, maybe they're just sleeping better, okay? Watt and DeAndre Hopkins helped stun their former team yesterday, 31-5. The hits Kyler Murray takes is a little bit worrisome to me. This is why I'm never putting money on him for MVP, but this is the best team in the league right now. Zach Ertz, immediate impact, lots of fun to watch. I know what you're thinking. Stormy, Nicole, Bonantoni, where are the Bills, the Titans, the Bengals, oh my, the Chargers, the Ravens? Not today, people. Not today. What is today? Mondays with Michael. Time to welcome in former NFL executive, host of the Lombardi Line here on VSiN, Michael Lombardi. Thanks for doing this, Michael. Like, love, or hate my list. What do you got for me?
You know, I thought your list is good. I mean, I think you got to have Buffalo in the top five. I mean, the way they've dominated people, and, you know, they're just a slip of a cleat away from beating the Titans. So to me, that would be the only argument I would have. I mean, Green Bay is a funny team. I mean, they played well enough to win and cover, which they've done. And yet there were so many opportunities for the Washington football team to actually win the game, you know, but they couldn't take advantage of it. And that's typically Washington. If you bet with Washington, you're betting at your own, you're basically betting at your own discretion, because they will find a way to mess it up.
Yeah, Washington has killed many, it seems, this season. But I mean, since you did mention the Packers, though, what are your thoughts? I don't know if you saw the news today, but their defensive coordinator with COVID, and now Davante Adams, we hear, is in the COVID-19 protocol as well. I feel like those are big absences for this week's game for Thursday Night Football.
Well, certainly, Parker, that screwed the line tremendously. I mean, we saw the line just go crazy once he declared that he went on the COVID list. I mean, this was a 3.5-point line all day, and it jumped up to 6. So that tells you, I mean, because when you break down this Green Bay team, you realize that, you know, they're living on the edge. I mean, they're truly Jon Bon Jovi. They're living on a prayer here. I mean, they've got great quarterback, and they've got Adams, and then you just wonder what else could happen. And they've been able to skirt around some games. They've won, and they deserve to win. But, you know, I think this is a team they're going to play this week that I don't think Vance Joseph has gotten enough credit. His defense is playing at a high, high level. I don't know why, Stormy, they played their starters into the fourth quarter. The game was out of control. You know, I was counting on them to, I said on my show, I thought that taking the Texans and the 18.5 might be a good play, because in the fourth quarter, you might get 2 scores to kind of cover the spread, backdoor cover. But they played their guys. They played their guys all the way through, and they scored 14 points in the second half, which ultimately gave the cover to the people that bet Arizona.
Well, you know, Michael, another team that's, whoa, living on a prayer, is another team that has been left off of my list here, the Kansas City Chiefs, who have just been nowhere near.
They don't deserve to be on your list.
Right? How bad have they been? Like, what is wrong with this team? And also, sidebar, do you think Patrick Mahomes is part of the problem now?
Well, I mean, he's gotten hit way too much, Stormy. If you watch the tape, I just finished it against the Titans. The Titans beat the hell out of him. I mean, they literally hit him almost on every play. The offensive line, they put Mike Remmers in at right tackle to replace the kid that they had starting at the beginning of the season. I mean, Orlando Brown, they ran by Orlando Brown about 4 or 5 times, and they hit the quarterback, and they caused sacks. They've turned the ball over too much. People seem to know how to play them. They rally to the ball. They tackle, and they're having a hard time protecting and holding the football to get the ball down the field. And it's going to take a little bit of ingenuity by Andy Reid. I think it's going to take some creativity. He's been in one formation now for 3 years, and he's been dominating in that formation, 11 personnel, 1 back, 1 tight end. You know, but I think people have caught up to it. And I think he's going to have to mix and match some personnel groups to not just rely on that, because people are used to playing that. And every week, you know, when you go to play them, you know their patterns that they want to run against. That there's only so much you can do against the way they're playing cover two, the way they're matching the passes. I think they got to change it up a little bit.
Well, and you know, despite all of their issues, the bookmakers still have them at third shortest odds to win the AFC at plus 650. But I don't even know if I think they make the playoffs at this point. Do you think they will?
Well, they're 11th now. I mean, their defense, at least their defense played well enough to stop the run. I mean, they got a couple tough calls in the game, but, you know, they can't stop anybody when they have to on defense. And, you know, Tennessee was able to shut them out with 3 points. I don't know if they can do it. You know, the way the Raiders played yesterday was pretty impressive. They destroyed the Raiders. I mean, they controlled the middle eight. You know, they scored, you know, in the last 4 minutes of the first half and the first 4 minutes of the second half. I mean, the Raiders dominated the game. They scored 17 points, and that's the game. I mean, they go into halftime. The kid, Gainwell, fumbles. They get a touchdown right before he fumbles. Comes out, he fumbles. That's 10 points. They start the second half with the onside kick that the Eagles don't get. And the 17 game over.
And good for the Raiders. Two straight wins now with interim head coach Rich Bisacci after dealing with all of the issues with John Gruden stepping aside. Sticking with the AFC, Lamar Jackson, first career loss to the Bengals, was 5-0 before yesterday. Cincinnati gets a statement win. Are they maybe the best team in the AFC North? Are they? Could they be?
Well, they looked like it yesterday. I mean, they made a big plays. I mean, they, you know, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase was sensational. He catches a slant, breaks two tackles, takes it 82 yards to the house. I mean, really kind of remarkable. You know, jump ball down the field, makes the play. I mean, they made big plays. The Ravens didn't cover anybody. Going to be an interesting game the next time they play. I'll just say this. The next time they play, I'm going to take the Ravens in the points. Ooh. Because I don't think they're going to blow the. I don't think they're going to do what they did in that game. They blew a lot of coverages in the game. They made a lot of mental mistakes, and I think that would change.
Ravens still favorites to win the AFC North. Bengals not too far behind at plus money, plus 250. If you think that they could get over the hump, would love to talk a little Monday Night Football with you. Big game coming up today. Seahawks and Saints going up against each other. Seahawks getting 4 at home. Geno Smith. The guy that'll be running that offense, it obviously looks a little bit different than when you have a guy like Russell Wilson who can do whatever he wants at will. What's just your thoughts on tonight's game?
Well, I mean, this is a game two quarterbacks that typically have turned the ball over, right? And and that's a, you know, and so tonight, I don't know if there's ever been a time where Seattle has been getting 4 points at home. Now it's up to 5. The line moved all the way back up to 5. It opened at 3.5. It went to 5. It came back down to 4. Now it's up to 5. A lot of money coming late in on the Saints and moving that number. So how often do you get the Saints at home with 5 points? I mean, the Seahawks at home with 5 points. Mm-hmm. But I think this with the weather, the rain coming sideways, the Saints got some reinforcements coming back. Certainly, I think that when you look at their defensive front, you know they're going to have Kawhi Alexander back. They're going to be able to get some players back on the team. Taquan Smith, the wide receiver, is going to come back tonight. I lean towards the Saints off of the bye week. I think they're the one team that can play net mistake-free if they can keep Winston from turning the ball over.
I was glad you mentioned the weather. I was wondering if Patrick Maher stuck his finger up and tested the wind, if he could give us any insight onto how that would play out.
I'm sure Patrick is monitoring at home with Cheesy. There's no doubt he's got it all handled. I don't think there's any doubt. He'll be more than happy to share it with you.
Awesome stuff. Thanks again, Michael. Appreciate the time. You're the best.
Thanks, Stormy. Bye-bye.
Another Monday with Michael in the books. What a blast. He's awesome. When we come back, everybody, we're going to say goodbye to a team, to the team's hopes and dreams for this season. But as one door closes, another one opens. Can't wait to talk to Steve Buchanan as well, NFL and MLB analyst for DraftKings. A lot to cover, but not a lot of time left. We got this.
Listening to My Guys in the Desert with Stormy Bonantoni on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hey, everybody, download the free oddstrader.com app to compare betting odds from licensed sportsbooks, access injury reports, in-game action, and much more when you go to oddstrader.com. Now, the show will briefly take a more somber turn. As many of you know, I wear black on the program most days, but today we have added another layer and with purpose. We are gathered here today with a heavy heart to say goodbye to a team's hopes and dreams in the 2021 season. It is the San Francisco 49ers. I touted you as a Super Bowl contender, but alas, you are nothing but a pretender. 1-5 against the spread this year, 2-4 straight up, and frustrating me with an identity about as clear as the mud that you will be 6 feet under when you're done with the show. Honestly, what's crazy to me about this is that if there was one possession in each one of the 49ers games that went a little bit differently, they could be undefeated or they could be winless. Think about that. That's insanity. Now we've got a quarterback situation that at one point looked pretty positive, I thought. Two legitimate options, and now Jimmy Garoppolo continues to struggle. Trey Lance, I mean, they're both dealing with injuries, but Trey Lance doesn't seem ready, regardless of whether or not he's ready or not. And I don't know if you guys saw the stat from NFL Research the other day in that loss to the Colts, that embarrassing struggle in the rain. Through three quarters last night, the Colts gained 73 yards on Carson Wentz completions, 97 on defensive PI. The defense can't get out of its own way. I'm very frustrated. And goodbye. It was great while it lasted. You know, you guys did win a Super Bowl when I was 3. Anyways, maybe our next guest can help bring me back to life. Time to welcome in our favorite guy, Steve Buchanan, NFL and MLB analyst for DraftKings. Steve, how are you? I hope that you can just, you know, raise the level of emotion here, because right now it's pretty negative.
I knew that a funeral was going to be coming, but this was just, this is going to be tough to go on from. And I'm so sorry about your 49ers. I hope we can bring some joy and peace in our next segment here. I'm ready.
Thank
I'm ready.
You. I appreciate too you being dressed for the occasion. I don't know if you got the memo, but you look great.
I did. I got the memo, and thank you so much. You look great. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, hey, how about we talk about another team that's struggling in the NFC West? Leave the 49ers out of this, but Seattle for Monday Night Football today hosting the New Orleans Saints. And just what stands out to you tonight in this game? I don't know if you have a lean to the side or a total play, but also I know we have to keep in mind some weather as well.
Yeah, of course. I mean, honestly, I don't want to pick a side in this one. This game is just going to be an absolute slop fest. Am I going to take anything here? Probably the under 42 points. It's actually gone up a point since we talked about it this morning at minus 110. Both of these teams combined to go 3-7-1 on hitting the over this season. That's hashtag not good at all. And these are two of the slowest paced teams in the league as well. Both of these teams average no more than 55 plays per game. That is at the bottom of the league. The Saints just love to run the ball. They're doing so 54.7% of the time. That is more than 4% higher than the Browns, who are in second place. So, I mean, we know how much the Browns like to run the ball. The Saints have been doing it so much. And when they're running the ball that much, that just leads to under. So I think the under is the play in this one.
You know, I liked the under in this one too. And I wasn't even taking into consideration all the knowledge you just dropped with regards to the Saints. But I was just thinking about, hey, Seattle, you know, our last four games went under a little bit different with Geno Smith. I liked the under too. But while you're talking about the Saints running the ball as much as they are, does that play into account when you're looking at some of these props? Like maybe if you were analyzing a Jameis Winston props, does that mean you look more toward the under?
Yeah, I mean, Jameis Winston on DraftKings Sportsbook, his pass attempts over under is at 25.5. That is absurdly high for Jameis Winston. The under on that is at even money, and that's where I'm going for this one. He's only gone over this number once, and that was last week against the Washington football team. He's coming into this game averaging just 23 pass attempts per game. Then, as I just mentioned, the Saints love to run the ball. So if they're running the ball, Winston is obviously not throwing the ball. So that just seems like a really high number to me at 25.5. Like, he'll come close. He might be in that 20 range, but getting 26 pass attempts in this game just seems unlikely, because that's not something he's done all season long.
So if he hasn't done that, like, how much of an indictment is that from the odds makers just looking at Seattle's defense? Are they like, okay, well, yeah, there's no more Legion of Boom. They can't do anything. Is that where that comes from?
Yeah, that's what it feels like. I mean, it really just kind of feels like that's true there. So, you know, talking about just another prop here too, I do like Geno Smith to go over 204.5 passing yards. That's at minus 115. He just barely went over that mark against the Steelers last week with 209. But opposing quarterbacks have gone over this number in four straight weeks. And look at the cast of characters we have here. Sam Darnold, Daniel Jones, Mac Jones, and Heineke. These are the guys who have gone over. The only team that hasn't gone over against the Saints was the Packers with Aaron Rodgers. I mean, you figure that one out because I can't. But the game script here leads me to believe that this should be a pass-heavy approach from the Seahawks. So I think that Geno Smith, well, it's not, you know, I'm not a banger of a play by any means, but I think he can go over that 204.5 passing yard.
We're living in bizarro world, I swear. One more question for you on Monday Night Football, and it's more of a generic question. Like, what do you typically make of teams coming off of a bye? Because I always have this internal debate of, like, the rest versus rust type of a factor. Saints coming off of a bye this week. Just what's your thoughts on that as you tend to bet thematically?
Yeah, of course. I mean, that is obviously a factor in this one here, too. And, you know, sometimes we take the week before their bye. Are they kind of looking ahead to that bye week? I would tend to go with the team that is coming off the bye. But again, this game kind of feels like an exception with how messy this one could end up being. So I would love to take that trend and go, yes, here's a great answer for you. But when you got these two teams in front of you, I'm just like, I'm just going to ignore that trend there and just kind of go with my gut in this one.
Don't blame you one bit. Well, hey, as I mentioned in your introduction, in addition to all of your football knowledge that you give us, you are also an analyst covering the MLB. And the stage is set for the World Series. How much fun is this? We've got the Braves and Astros. You're also featured on MLB Network a good bit. So what would you be telling MLB Network peeps about this series?
Yeah, look, I mean, people keep doubting the Braves, and they've been the underdog in every playoff series that they've been. I think it's just time to just bite the bullet and take them to win the World Series here. They're plus 130 to win the World Series, and it's not like they're not hitting or anything like that. They're averaging 4 runs per game in the 10 playoff games that they have. And the biggest thing for me, and this is what might be the biggest advantage over the Astros, their bullpen has been stellar. Jesse Chavez, Minter, Smith, they've combined to go 18 2/3 innings, 0 runs on 8 hits and 19 strikeouts. The back of the bullpen for the Braves has been essential for them getting as far as they have. And I think the Braves have the advantage in the rotation as well. So if they have the advantage in the rotation, and then it's been shut down city in that bullpen, you have to like the Braves here at a very enticing plus 130.
We joked about this on the program the other day that I live with a Braves fan, and he talked so much trash about Will Smith and about that bullpen for so long. And now all of a sudden, like, oh my God, look at this pitching we have. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
But
fraud.
Go ahead.
Whoever said that, absolute fraud, because now they're on. I'm sure they love Will Smith, of course.
Yeah, no question. But look into game one specifically. So if you're on the Braves for the series, do you like the Braves too in game one? They're on that plus money again.
Yeah, plus 115 on the money line for the Braves in game one, with Charlie Morton expected to take the mound for them. Framber Valdez is going to be going for the Astros. He hasn't been overly efficient in the 3 playoff games that he's pitched in. 7 earned runs on 16 hits in 15 innings. Now, the thing is, he is going to get the strikeouts against the Braves. I might be interested in taking the over on his strikeout prop, but he has been really shaky in the 3 outings that we've seen him so far. And like I mentioned, the Braves are hitting. They're averaging over 4 runs in the entire playoff run that they've had so far, and this is doing it without some of their best bats. We all know that Acuna is not in that lineup. They're going with some of their bench guys, but guys like Eddie Rosario is hitting the cover off the ball right now. The Braves are coming into this series as the hot team right now. It's going to be hard to stop them. I don't think Valdez is that guy.
Any thoughts on just how many games this one might go?
I think it's going to go 6. I think the Astros will get a couple games in there. You know, obviously, Luis Garcia was unbelievable against my Boston Red Sox, which is extremely aggravating and disappointing to watch. But they will get a couple games in here. They do have some really good pitching. This is a very good team. But I think the Braves end up taking this in 6.
Okay, one more question for you. And I just want a one-word answer because we got to get out of here. What are your thoughts on the Cardinals manager hire? One word.
Eh.
Perfect. Thank you so much for the time, Steve. Appreciate it.
Of course. No problem. Thank you.
Steve Buchanan there with you, analyst for DraftKings, covering both the MLB and NFL. Great stuff. Before we go, time for my picks taken by storm. E. I like the under. I got it at 42 for tonight's Monday Night Football game. Most places seeing it at 41, 41.5. Under, like I said earlier, is 4-0 for Seattle's last four games, and it'll be a windy one. Won't be great. I like Jameis Winston over 1.5 touchdowns at +140. Felt like a generous line. Going against the 25th ranked pass defense in the NFL, bad secondary. I think he'll be efficient. Alex Collins, too, over 44.5 yards. I just got a feeling. I just like it. He's back. Let's roll with it. That's going to do it for my guys in the desert, though. Stick around on VSiN because Danny Burke and Rush Hour coming up next. Thanks so much.